Domestic weather is a parallel exploration of the effects of weather on the propagation of radio signals and radio transmissions as carriers of meteorological data. In this program, ham radio operators describe the positive and negative effects that atmospheric conditions have on their broadcasts over a soundscape created from shortwave and VHF radio meteorological forecasts. Weather services used include regional, RAF and airport approach Volmet forecasts, as well as naval shipping communications and weather reports. Interwoven throughout the piece are the cryptic transmissions of radio sondes, balloon-borne weather probes sent into the atmosphere to transmit meteorological data back to Earth in codes we cannot interpret. To most ears, they're almost as impenetrable as the jargon of the amateur radio enthusiast. Alongside this are interjections from a series of domestic weather experiments, drawing analogies between weather conditions and a variety of household items and appliances. These experiments transmit the exterior sounds of weather into the home in radio duets with everyday objects, thus documenting the microclimate of the domestic environment. Special thanks to members of the West of Scotland Amateur Radio Society. Produced by Mark Vernon for Wavefarm and Kunstradio.
Just the other evening, I was sitting in a cozy room, listening, and a lady called to see my wife. Having addressed a few remarks on the cold snap having spread very generally over the countryside, she addressed a technical query to me. "Can this cold weather," she said, "possibly be caused by the wireless waves, which, I understand, travel at 186,000 miles per second?" In answer to my anxious inquiry as to her precise meaning, she continued, "You see," and she really is a very ardent listener to the children's hour, "if the ether waves travel at such a prodigious speed through the air, then surely they must create quite a stir and a draft, especially as I understand that they pass through and not around the house." Having discovered that she was really not pulling my leg, I hastened to do my best to explain that, after all, a wireless wave is an ether wave and not an air disturbance, passing as it does through the ether and not through the air. The air itself is undisturbed.
Thank you. the weather plays a big part in it, particularly when it blows your aerials down. If it's windy, the Americans used to say if your aerials don't get blown down in the winter, they're not big enough. We quite often get aerial wires blown away, and it breaks the ropes and that. The constant chugging with the wind, and a lot of the blocks put bungees on them. That allows them a bit of movement, particularly if you're tied onto a tree. You don't want it, because the tree moves back and forward with the wind.
A lot of amateur aerials are built to a cost, and they're built with rather flimsy aluminium. You will get them bending and buckling, but generally not until you get really severe weather, you know, 80 miles an hour and above type thing.
Oh, I've had them blown down, yes. Aye, in high winds. Normally what happens is when you see the forecast and it's getting high winds, what you normally do is you tie a rope onto your tower, and then hammer a stake into the ground and put a guy on it to the prevailing wind. Our prevailing wind's southwesterly, so we only need to guy it one way. I've never had the wind that hard coming from the east that I needed to bother about it. Club lost its tower. The tower blew over. Broke the guy ropes and everything, the ropes. It was a few years back, must be 10 years back or so, and it was really windy, because I went down and put another guy rope on it, but it pulled the stakes out the ground and broke one of the ropes, and the wires the other. But it damaged the aerial and that, but it never damaged anything else. It just fell down.
It's not going to affect all that. Everybody's got an aerial up. You always wait for it to come down. If it doesn't come down during the storm, they feel it's not big enough.
There's flags. You use heavy water at your rallying poles, which is a heavy, heavy gauge aluminium. And it flexes quite considerably. I've actually seen one of these poles and the wind almost bend double and come back up again, and it's been fine. But that's in extreme conditions. It doesn't happen very often.
Oh, well, I've had the pole. It's mounted on a pole, and the pole's just giving way at the base, where sort of vibration has cracked it, and it's just fallen over on its side and brought the aerial down with it. So wind and aerials don't go.
Domestic Weather Experiment 1. High winds and hairdryer.
Task 2.
Thank you.
You see the effects of it? I mean, especially in America, where they have big 60 or 100 foot towers, and they come crashing down. You know, they're built to withstand maybe 80, 100 mile an hour wind, but they can get it more than that sometimes.
Whistling noise, and I also hear the wind blows against the mast and the wires on the mast whistle and hit against the mast.
No, only for the wind. Otherwise, he wouldn't bother watching it for the weather. No, he transmit no matter what the weather was like outside.
Domestic Weather Experiment 24, micro radio broadcast of rainfall inside shower cubicle. Domestic Weather Experiment 28, Snow Walk Inside Freezer.
long room, yes. Anchorage 23 for the Bro distributor. Over. Can you say again, please? Over. Wind at the breakwater is south-southwest at 9 knots. Eastern Kings, southerly at 5 knots. Our visibility is good. Over.
The state of the runway, it's whether it's dry, I never know which way it goes, it's either drying out, wet, wet, dry, or wet, dank, dry, but now they're saying wet, 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 so that means it's been wet and it is still wet.
When you go on the radio, say for now, I was talking to a chap, last week I was talking to a chap in Puerto Rico, and so I call him and he comes back and say, you know, my name's Alan, and his name's maybe Christopher or something like that, right, anyway, and then he'll say I'm using a Kenwood 2000, and I'm using a Yaesu 920 or something, and my aerial is an X7, and he'll tell you his aerial, and then I'll say, oh, the weather here, we've been having sleet and snow, a couple of inches of snow lying in the ground. I says it's just about +2 just now, and it's blowing about 20 or 30 miles an hour, and he'll come back and annoy you by saying, well, it's 28 degrees here, the sun's shining, and I'm sitting here with a nice cool lager. beautiful, you know. So that's, but you do ask, I mean, you ask blocks and other boys all there. There's a block up in the, way up beyond the Winnipeg, and he, every time you ask, you say to him, he'll say, oh, the weather, during the summer, he'll say, the weather's terrible. I says, how's that? Oh, he says, it's about 25 degrees. He says, I hate the warm weather. He says, I don't mind when it's minus 20 or minus 30. He says, even my dog will hardly go outside in the warm weather. But in the winter months, when the snow is there, he runs about everywhere. So, you know, so it's, the weather's something to everybody.
Tony Hancock show, you know, the weather in Tokyo here is raining, but it's always been a thing about amateur radio that we do communicate weather about. Also, if you're actually a Morse operator, a CW operator, because apart from passing your name, your signal levels, all the rest of it, they generally put WX here is, whatever the case may be, snow, wet, whatever, and it's, again, that lets the people who you're talking to know what your local weather conditions are. Likewise, also in the middle of communication with them, if you happen to disappear off because you're in the middle of a snowstorm or thunderstorm or whatever, it's not really good practice to actually be operating within a thunderstorm, you know. You're just pushing your luck a wee bit, you know.
Domestic Weather Experiment 7. Heavy rain and hailstones lashing against windows. Created using rice grains dropped onto a metal baking tray.
Domestic Weather Experiment 16. Homemade Thunder and Lightning. Domestic weather experiment 21. Lightning created using insecticutor and gas cooker ignition.
High speed crackling, if you know, just a or a hiss, you know, a kind of cross between a hiss and a kind of high speed crackling. But it varies depending on what it is. Obviously, if there's a lot of static electricity in the air, you get lightning, and that just comes with a big crack, the same as you would hear normal lightning. Although sometimes if it's that close, it's
as you've probably seen from pictures from the Apollo, you can actually see a thunderstorm actually sitting in the atmosphere, creating a static discharge. But as well as going down the way, you notice that this actually ionisation appears to head out into space. And I reckon that some of these effects you hear on the radio are due to that type of discharge going up the way as well, down the way. I was working on a shack one day and I heard something clicking away in the background. Click, click, click. What's that? And tracked it down and here from the end of the aerial to an earth point, and it was almost a centimetre in length, there was a spark jumping, and again that was due to the static build up from outside the atmosphere outside onto the wire antennas that I happen to be using. During thunderstorms and ahead of thunderstorms, there's obviously loads of static discharges. And if you listen on an analog receiver monitoring these frequencies, you find this characteristic noises appear. And over time, you begin to recognise that it signifies specific types of interference or specific types of weather approaching or disappearing. And obviously thunderstorms, the electromagnetic discharge from a thunderstorm can carry over hundreds, if not thousands of miles. So you can actually hear thunderstorms from considerable distance.
Oh, lightning, yes. Well, lightning's, when it crashes, you get too close, then what you normally do is you just shut down and pull your aerial wires. You don't want your radio set getting zapped. It's just common sense to make sure that you don't get electrocuted.
Well, we're very lucky up here in Scotland, or my particular location. There seems to be... I'm at the bottom of Steps Hill, so there's usually churches and church spires which seem to attract all the lightning rather than it being attracted to my dipoles in my back garden.
You sometimes get protection of your aerials from with another building, or a flagpole, or a street lamp, or whatever the case may be.
But that is one fortunate thing about having or being at a low level. The lightning goes to the highest point, and it'll short to earth through steeple lightning rods.
lightning about, the safest method is just to disconnect. So that the least you can conduct electricity, the better. That's a known fact.
Sunday morning, it's nice and clear. But if I move it, because I know that's the, I know I can't improve it today on that. That's the only, because I've done it and done it and done it. So I know, no matter how you fiddle about it, you're not going to improve it. It's to deal with the weather or one thing or another. You say so. But on a Sunday morning, that is Radio Wales now.
Domestic Weather Experiment 14, micro radio broadcast of a tornado inside a tumble dryer.
When there's an activity on the sun with the sunspots, there's a stream of high excited particles stream into the earth, which predominates by coming down as aurora. Amateurs use aurora propagation as well for bouncing signals off of. and you find this is, you know, if there's a way that, if there's a means in the atmosphere that will reflect radio signals, amateurs have at some point have tried bouncing signals off.
Well, the signal is a queer sounding signal. It's not a normal voice. It's like it's hard to describe it. It's not a normal sounding voice. The minute you hear it, you know right away it's an aurora. There's an echoey effect to it.
And this allows you to communicate for longer distances because the ionized layer will be more impervious to the signal and bounce off rather than going straight through. And the higher your frequency, the more chances the signal goes straight through the stratosphere into the outer space rather than bouncing off.
Domestic Weather Experiment 4, Soapsuds. Constant steady rain.
Well, weather turns everything off. If you've got sheets and sheets of rain, it just blocks the signal completely. It just goes right to the earth. Your signal won't go through a rainstorm. But if you can get above the rainstorm, you're really high.
Oh, it's noisy. Oh yeah, you get noise. You get more static.
Well, we hear the atmospheric changes by the noise level. Obviously, if it's wet weather, then the noise level increases because you get electrical interference from the rain hitting power cables and everything else, you know, so you get an increased level there.
That's the noise you get with the weather. It's just a shh, like so, and it's difficult to hear. Person you're trying to communicate with if there's that background noise.
Rain has a dampening effect or a shield round about the signal, so you find that propagation diminishes quite dramatically in VHF in heavy, nasty weather. One day you can speak to somebody 150 miles away, same chap the following day, no. Again, atmospherics.
The more moisture in the air, then the more the noise level. The humidity rises, then the noise in the atmosphere increases as well.
Thank you. man die GPS-Daten, damit man weiß, wo die Sonne sich befindet. Sonnenmonitor. Das Programm Sonnenmonitor stellt da den Eingang. Und schließlich werden die Daten dargestellt. Man sieht die Frequenz nochmal, 405,7. Die Sonde ist ziemlich weit oben schon, bei 21 Kilometer und steigt noch ordentlich. Unten sieht man die GPS-Daten, damit man weiß, wo die Sonde sich befindet.
Open. Is one of those books open?
Yes.
Is it open at Scottish Bonnet or something? VHF or HF? Is
VHF Bonnet.
Can you move forward a few
Scottish Bonnet?
Yeah, move forward a few pages to HF Bonnet.
HF Bonnet. Yeah.
And then if you can find your way to RAF Bonnet, will come up first. It's just alphabetical, so eventually it should get to RAF Bonnet. Does it run out as quickly as that?
Oh, Royal Air Force One.
Yes, and what's the frequencies?
5450.
Wait, no, that's enough. 5450. Enter. Well, that says error. Oh, that's not very encouraging, is it? Oh dear, what have I done wrong?
There's another one.
Yeah, go on.
11253.
11253. That's not going to work either. Oysters? No, it's not. And I'm doing something wrong on this blasted thing. It's just that it is a weather broadcast, and it is there, but I'll try it on this now. I'm not very optimistic. I don't know what it is. It may be away down in the south or somewhere. It's really 5-4 is more for the night one. The one that should work is the 1-1. That's not too bad. Now, that's about the best. Now I'm going to turn that off and go over and see if I... Oh, death. Sorry. Passes now. Thank you.
I would say that we are affected by the weather in all respects, whether it be for the strength of your aerials, the atmospheric noise, or the latent weather noise from an increase in background noise. Use common sense and let the weather conditions help you rather than hinder you.
You've just got to book the right frequency, at the right band, at the right time, and you can go where you want to.
You work with the weather and around it. That's
a wireless wave is an ether wave and not an air disturbance. Passing as it does through the ether and not through the air. The air itself is undisturbed.